God. We praise you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I'm going to sing it again. I just want to speak.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. The light of fire.
Sing verse 2, verse 2.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to speak the name of Jesus.
Shadow, but like a fire.
over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
You shout Jesus, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus, for my family,
here we go.
I speak the holy name.
Your name is power.
Your name.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are for us. And knowing that, we know this also, that no one and nothing can be against us. You override every work of the enemy. You neutralize every poison. You cancel out every debt. You establish wholeness in our lives. And tonight, we present ourselves before your throne room. And Lord, O God Almighty, that you will do for us what no man can, that you will heal us in extraordinary ways, that you restore us, that you cause us to experience fullness of life, wholeness in every area, establishing the righteousness of Jesus Christ, speedified, O God, because God, you are a God who moves quickly. Let tonight be a night of extraordinary events in our lives. We bless your holy name as we call on you, the Amen of God. Let your new things happen for us as you position us to experience fullness of life. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you this evening. Tonight is a night of impartation. While I was ministering the word of the Lord this morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, tonight I want you to lay hands on my people. I am going to heal them and do for them what needs to be done. Many times, the issue that faces us is not that we have not had God pass the ball to us, is that we are not properly positioned to receive the pass, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's important to be positioned properly. And when you're positioned properly, you can be certain that God puts it in the pocket. He wants to drop it right in the pocket. But you need to be where he wants you to be and not allow any distractions. He has a game plan, and he tells us by the leading of his Spirit, if we acknowledge him, where we ought to be, where we ought to be positioned, because that's where he's going to throw the ball. And it's unwise to stop when he's thrown the ball, because he's throwing the ball into your future. Let me say this again. He's throwing the ball into your future. A quarterback, when he's going to throw that ball, it's not necessarily if he really, except if it is a short drop of the ball, if he wants that guy to have that touchdown, that guy has to be moving. And he knows where he's going to drop that ball. And the guy who's going to receive it needs to keep on running and anticipating, because he's connected to that quarterback, where that ball is coming, because he's been told, this is where I'm going to drop the ball. And so as he's running, when he gets to the point, he looks and there it is. He's going to put it in the pocket. God is always going to put it in the pocket. Amen? He's going to put it right in the pocket. So we have a role to play. Now, this morning, we started talking about Jeremiah. We talked about Jeremiah and how God said to him, before you were in your mother's womb, in your mother's belly, I knew you, I formed you. Before you came out, all of this happened. And we deduced from all of that that ultimately our appearance here is not just an act of an accident that happened because Mama and Papa met, but that God had a plan and a purpose. And with that in mind, we need to understand that everybody, it doesn't matter how you came here, that God knew. Say, well, I was a result of a rape. That doesn't stop God from having a purpose. There's a great man of God who just passed home to be with the Lord just last month or so. His name was James Robison. James Robison touched the world. He was a product of rape. Are we together? We are not glorifying rape. We're just saying God has a plan and a purpose for every life that was born. Everyone. Everyone. And when the Word of God tells us in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, we talked about this a little bit, but I'm just going to say a little bit more about this. It says the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah simply means the portion of Jah, the portion of Jehovah. It says of him that he was of the priests that were in Anathoth. Anathoth means answers to prayers. That's what that means. And he was in the land of Benjamin, son of my right hand. Watch this. It says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. And we talked about the meaning of Josiah this morning. This was a king, a young man that was raised by his parents and became king. And he became king when he was just 8 years old. His name means founded by Jehovah, founded by Jah. He says he's the son of Ammon, king of Judah. He's the son of Ammon, the son of Ammon, the son of Ammon, who is the king of Judah. Now, there's a reason I'm going through all of this. And the reason is this, that God was trying to tell us about this man and how he was positioned, that there was something that he was working on all through before he came. He says here, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. Ammon means to be skilled. A skilled workman. God is that skilled workman. He has a portion for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. And the other thing about that name, Josiah, it means the one that God heals. So God was positioning, and we talked about that this morning, that God is positioning us before we get to the place where he unleashes and brings to manifestation everything that he wants to do. He's got to do a work of healing in us. People who are not healed cannot receive from God. It is like trying to put water into a cracked pot. It will leak out. And so many times we've been blessed of the Lord, we've been spoken to by the word of the Lord, and we don't see any changes, no results. All we felt was goosebumps. All we felt was oil on our head. But the impact of it many times doesn't take root or take place because we have not been healed. And so one of the first things that needs to happen in us is that we receive the healing touch of God so that we have the capacity to keep whatever it is God has given to us. Amen? So tonight we are going to pray and believe God for that healing to take place so that the things that God has ordained, that God has on his mind for us, can be poured into us consistently and there is no waste. That we are getting filled and until we come to the place of baptism, where we are carried by the very presence and the power of God. We need that today. Hallelujah. It is absolutely a necessity. Because what has happened to us as God's people is that we've had what we call revivals. And it didn't last. Or may I put it this way? There was a man called Lazarus that was raised from the dead, but then died. But there is one who is called Jesus, who died, rose again from the dead, and continues to live. Which one do you want? Hallelujah. We definitely want to experience God to his fullness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have this one who is the skilled workman. He says, to whom the word of the Lord came. And it came in the days of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. This is an interesting name. Because Jehoiakim means that Jehovah will arise. God will arise in us. Hallelujah. And his enemies will be scattered. Glory be to God. So here is this man. All of this is happening. Now, this is not the thrust of the message this morning. Or rather this evening, but I am coming here to establish something. We must receive the healing of God, because the word of God tells us very clearly that after all of these things happened in the life of Jeremiah, the one whom Jehovah heals, then the word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came. And God began to tell Jeremiah about his destiny and his purpose. God cannot tell you about who you are until. And the reason I say that is because, let's go back to verse 1. And I want you to count with me how many times Josiah is mentioned. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, the place of God answering prayers, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of who? Josiah, number one. The son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of who? Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month, then the word of the Lord came. So three times. Now you know what I'm going to say now. If you've been under the teaching in this house, you remember the word of the Lord. When the Lord asked me a question, He said, why was I in the grave for 3 days? I said, I don't know. I know you were. But why were you there? And he said, on day one, I took off every issue concerning your past. On day two, I took care of every issue concerning your present. On day three, I took care of everything in your future. You need not worry about anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when God repeats the name of Josiah, the one who heals, God heals 3 times. He's saying, you got to be healed from your past, your present, and your future. So I can talk to you. I can't talk to you because if I say anything to you when you are not healed, you may just misinterpret what I said. I'm reminded of a dear daughter of God when we first started as a church called Seven Oaks Evangelical Church. She'd come to the church service and she got hugged and she lost it. She started bawling and crying and crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? She hugged me. She hugged me. She could not accept a hug. There's some people that cannot accept a nice word. If you say something nice to them, their mind goes all over the place because they've not been healed. Tonight, that is not going to be our issue because God is going to heal us of our past, present, and future so that when the Word of God comes to us, we can receive it, we can embrace it, and we can walk in the victory that God has promised us in His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. What kind of healings do we need? Sometimes the healing that you need is the healing from disappointment. The healing from rejection. Not all healing is, I got healed from cancer. Or I got healed from high blood pressure. I got healed from a broken leg or whatever. The most important kind of healing that you need is a healing that will correct the issues of your mind. The way you think. The way you carry yourself. And that was part of the healing that this man of God needed in the book of Jeremiah. Because when God began to speak to him about what he wanted to do with him, Jeremiah's response is, I don't know how this is going to happen. He says in verse 6, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But wait a minute. Who is he using as the bedrock for what he's saying to him? A child that is a king. A child that was king when he was 8 years old. Are we together so far? You see, the Word of God is so interconnected. That's why it is God-breathed. Because it's not a man that comes up with these ideas to bring out all the connections in the Word of God. Only God did that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, so many times when we read the Word of God, we read on the surface and we don't see the depth of the things that God is saying. But God is saying, this is who you are. I knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb, not even a young person. You were yet in your mother's womb. And before you got there, I knew you. So stop talking trash, for I'm a child. But the Lord says unto him, say not. Somebody say, say not. Say it again, say not. What does say not mean? Don't say it. Say not means say not. Don't say I'm a child. Why? For you're going to go to all that I shall send you. And I don't send children. I send mature people. So I declare today that God will raise us to a place where we are mature. Hallelujah. Mature people. The word of God says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It is like the oil of anointing that was poured on the head of Aaron that ran down his beard. The imagery that God is painting when it says the oil ran down his beard, the beard represents maturity, that you've grown, that you can be trusted. Tonight, may God raise us up by the authority of his word and cause us to grow up. Hallelujah. And as we grow up, that he can entrust us with the greater responsibilities, because we have the ability to respond. Do you receive that? People who are irresponsible are acting like children. You say, but didn't the Lord say that except we become like little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Yeah, the children that he's talking about in that case is the trust of children for protection, provision, strength, whatever that the parents are giving to them. That we need to trust God just like children trust their parents. But it has nothing to do with being foolish. In fact, the word of God says you got to beat the foolishness out of the child. Huh? He said, knock that thing out of there. God doesn't want you to be a child that is acting foolishly. Hallelujah. He says, don't say I'm a child, because you're going to go to whoever it is that I send you. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You're going to speak, but don't be saying I'm a child. Don't be saying I'm not capable. It says, and furthermore, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Excuse me? You're going to be with me to deliver me? Why do you need to deliver me? If you're sending me, when God sends you, there will be opposition. And he's saying, no matter what the opposition, I'm with you. We're in this together. But the Lord did not just speak to him. He says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. And I've set you over the nations and over kingdoms. And this is what you're going to do for me. You're going to root out, you're going to pull down, you're going to destroy, and you're going to throw down so that you can build and you can plant. These are all the things that are going to happen with you. We're in this together. But a man who does not know who he is becomes destructive for destructive senses and purposes. There's no design, no purpose, no direction to what he's doing. That is not us today. Amen? God is going to put his word in your mouth, and your word, the word of God in your mouth, is going to bring healing and restoration. There are times it's going to cut, because the word of God is a sword. Not against your beloved brother, but against the enemy. That you are able to say what God wants you to say, to begin to root out things that do not belong, to pull down things that do not belong, to destroy those things that do not belong, and to throw down those things that do not belong, so that you can build and you can plant. 4 negatives for 2 positives. But in a sense, all of it is positive. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is going to do something extraordinary for every one of us. Now, that brings me to the thrust of the message that God has for us tonight. This morning, I read to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, about how Jesus came back into the synagogue and how these friends tore up the roof. Remember that? And I gave you an image of that. But tonight I'm going to look at it from the rendition of Luke. Luke tells us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 17, Jesus had ministered healing and restoration and done all kinds of miracles, and the religious leaders of the day were not very happy with him. They chased him out of town, so to speak. And the word of God says in verse 17 of chapter 5 that it came to pass on a certain day. There is a certain day. As he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and there were doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee. They've come out of every town of Judea and Jerusalem. And then it says, and the power of God, the power of the Lord, was present to heal them. Let's look at the verse again. He came on a certain day, and he was teaching the word of God. And there were Pharisees there. There were doctors there, doctors of the law. And they were sitting by. And these people had come from all kinds of places. They'd come from Galilee. They came from Judea. They came from Jerusalem. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to what? Heal them. Heal who? Heal the Pharisees. Heal the doctors of the law. Heal all of these people that came, leaders and whoever it is, who came from wherever it is they came. His power, God's power, was present there to heal them. Jesus was busy teaching them. But as we read the passage of Scripture, we do not hear of any of them getting healed. Was the power of God not present to heal them? It was. So you can be in an atmosphere where God wants to do particular things in your life and yet miss out on it because you were just sitting by. Sitting by. Sitting by. You can be in this church and hear the word of God, see God's power move and touch lives, and you are just sitting by and get nothing out of it. What are you going to do today? Power of God is present to heal people who are engaged. Now, who's going to get healed this day? The Bible says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was taken with a palsy. He was taken with a palsy. That tells us something about this particular ailment. He was overtaken by something that he did not have, but that thing came upon him and captured him. He was taken. He had been kidnapped by a spirit called palsy. And say, how did you come up with the idea that it was a spirit? Jesus dealt with all kinds of ailments and addressed it as spirit. You spirit of deafness and dumbness, come out of being deaf and dumb. Sounds like physical to me. But it says spirit. Tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let every spiritual attack on your life, on your finances, on your marriage, on your relationships, on your business, whatever area the enemy has come and taken a hold of you with the spirit of palsy, which is a spirit that robs you of your capacity to be stable, causes you to be trembling, let that spirit be accursed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He was taken with a palsy. He says, and they sought means to bring him in. I love those words. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. That means they were trying. The amazing thing is that they never quit. They did not quit. He says, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. They tried everything in the natural. Now they went up to a higher level. Tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may God lift your faith to a higher level. Because there are certain things that you cannot accomplish doing it in the natural realm where everybody is. Because there are so many smarter people than you. There are so many people that were in the line before you got there. And you got to find another way. Be creative. They sought to find a way. It says, let's see the image here. The Word of God tells us they went up the roof. They had ropes here because that's the only way they're going to let the guy down. Did you think they tore up the roof and then they said, hold on, let go? They sought out a means. Because there is a problem does not mean that you cannot be creative. You have to decide what you want and creatively get it. There was a woman with the issue of blood. Everything said, you cannot get healed. But she made sure in her mind, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get healed. Now, that was totally illegal based on the law. But she said, one way or the other, I will ask for forgiveness after the fact. But today, this guy is not living here. Hallelujah. You got to make a decision. If you want something really badly in God, you've got to be creative. Find ways. It didn't work this way, try the other way. It didn't work this way, try the other way. It didn't work this way, try the other way. You'll get there. I was watching a clip the other day. This husband and wife were engaged in something, and the guy brings some cash, puts it on the table, and puts a cup on top of that cash and says, if you can get this money out of here without touching this cup, you can keep the money. She looks at him and says, I should get this cup off of the cash without touching the cup. He said, yes. So she walks away. And she comes back with a balloon. Puts the balloon and blows on the balloon. The balloon grabs the cup. She takes it off and she grabs her money. So he decides, okay, I'm going to find another way. He puts some drinks inside a cup and put another cup on top of the other cup and says, if you can get the money without touching the cup, you can keep the money. Okay, how am I going to do this? So she walks away, and she comes back with a straw. Well, before she went and got the straw, she blew off the first cup, plastic cup. The cup fell off. She says, see, I know you took that cup off, but you're not going to be able to get this drink out of here. She walks away, comes out with a straw, sucks out all the drinks, and blew the other cup off, collected her money. Why did I tell you that story? Because there is always a way. If you have the mind of Christ, there is always a way. I don't know if I should tell you the third one. Okay, I'll tell you the third one. The money is on the table. He puts his foot on it and he says, if you can get this money off this table without touching it or touching my legs and removing my leg, you can have it. She's sitting down there and she's thinking. And she goes, while he's on there, she goes for his crotch and he jumps off and he grabs the money. The point is, there is always a way. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. There is always a way. Are you willing to look at the situation again with the mind of Christ concerning that situation and say, how do I get this? Those men engaged their faith. They got ropes. I don't know where they got those ropes from. Maybe they borrowed it from a neighbor. But they got it. They got up the roof. And they began to tear somebody else's roof up. Why? They were determined. This brother is getting healed today. Right now. The people were sitting down there. The power of God was present to heal them. And it was these guys who had a sense of a presence of mind to know that the power of God was present for healing. And right now is the time. It's not 2 hours from now. Right now. The power of God is here right now. Right now. Right now. And we got to get it right now. I'm not going to miss the time of my visitation. I'm going to get it right now. Are you ready to get what God has for you right now? Or are you playing games on tomorrow, 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 tomorrow? God has already taken care of tomorrow. And that tomorrow is a now experience. Hallelujah. What is the delay about? Why does it have to be tomorrow? When God's power is present now to heal me, to restore me, to empower me, to grace me, to help me. God's power is present now. I must tap into the presence of His power right now and not wait. Hallelujah. So there they were. They released him. Those that were inside the house had to move to make room. And the word of God says in verse 20, he says, and when he saw their faith, so faith was visible. How was it made visible? By their action. He saw the desperation in their heart for what God wanted. There was a hunger for it. He says unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Mark did not give us all of these details, but Luke did. He says, your sins are forgiven you. Because until you are healed, God cannot take you to the next level. And the sickness was brought about by something sinful that gave the enemy access to take him, to capture him. There are many that have been captured because of a sin they've allowed in their lives. Are we together? The devil doesn't have access until we give him access. If you engage in what is not of God, the devil will have access to your life. And he will take you through a run. God may help you. God may speak nice words to you and all of that. But if you don't deal with that secret sin, you're going to come to a place where palsy is the end result. Some kind of a sickness that captures you. So the Lord says, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason using their logical mindset, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The religious mind. But you know what the Lord said? He said to the disciples, whatever sins you forgive will be forgiven, and whatever sins you refuse to forgive will be held against the person. Only those that have been raised to the level of leadership have that authority. You know, there are so many people in churches that cannot be free because they have abused a man or woman of God. You can pray all you want. If you don't go and talk to that man of God and say, release me, you're stuck. Even the Lord will not. You think I'm talking crazy? It's all in the Word. It's all in the Word of God. That's why the Word of God says, you better not hurt a man of God because he's going to report to me. And you are going to be in trouble. He watches over your soul. And what does the enemy do? He wants to bring you to a place where you are going against a man or woman of God. That man or woman of God falls or stands based on his relationship with God. God is the one who called him. Huh? And God is the one who disciplines him. When you get into that mix, you step into the pathway of God. And now you're going to carry stuff that you have no business carrying. Hello? Anyway, let's go on. Who is this guy? And Jesus, our Lord, the Word of God says, perceived their thoughts, caught up with their thoughts. And he answered and said unto them, what reason you in your hearts? What is it that this that you're thinking? Is it easier to say thy sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? Which is the easier thing to do? But that you may know that the Son of Man had power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine own house. And immediately, someone say immediately, he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, doing what? Glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Come, come, come. Remember, the power of God was present to heal them. He ended up healing them, those that came. Because now, they that were complaining, who gave this guy the right to this and blah, blah, blah. Now, when they saw him, this guy, walking out of there, they started glorifying God. Amen. They started glorifying God now, not as people that were sitting by, but people that were engaged. God did not mind how they got engaged, but at least they got engaged, and now he could take them to where he wanted to take them. Amen? And that was a place of them glorifying God. Tonight, let God do for us extraordinary things so that we glorify God. Amen? Let it be immediate for every one of us. Do you receive that word? Hallelujah. All right. Well, we are going to do our prayer segment right now. For those that are online on YouTube and Facebook and Zoom, get your oil. I'm going to pray with you. One of the first prayer points is to pray that you and I get healed so that we can receive all that God has for us. Because people that are not healed cannot function in the divine strength and power that God gives. So I pray for your healing. I pray for my healing. I pray for all of us experiencing the healing power of God. Second thing I'm going to pray tonight is that God bring you to that place of divine purpose, that you recognize that God has called you, that you are properly positioned to receive what God has for you. Hallelujah. That is of utmost importance. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to pray that God brings you people that are committed to help you. Amen. These four friends became creative because they wanted their friend helped at the right time. One of the things I've learned is this. God is always present. God is always capable. But God has timings. And you don't want to miss God's timing for you. You can be there and healing is flowing and you don't step into the water. Guess what? You don't get healed. Hello? We saw that in John 5, didn't we? At a particular time, the angel of the Lord comes at this feast time and troubles the water. And those who step in, the first one who steps in, gets healed. The second guy didn't get healed. Same water. Same water. God can do everything. Yes, he can. But he has his own mind on what he wants and when he wants to do it. So the Bible says, at the fullness of time, Christ died. The fullness of time. He came and he died at a very specific time in the economy of God. And when he comes back, he's going to come at the right time. Not before, not after. The right time. That's why everything that God did was fulfilled based on the feast of the Lord. This September, it was not planned. It was not the way. My mind did not go there at all. I found out after the fact that this was what was happening. How many of you know that we celebrate Rosh Hashanah? We do Yom Kippur and all of that every year, right? So, this year is my 50th year of ministry, September the 5th. And I said, you know what? I'm going to celebrate the day off in San Diego where my spiritual father was. If he was here, still living, that's where I will be. So even if he's not here, I will still go there to just say, thank you, Papa, for ministering to me and gracing my life and praying for me and all of that, even though I was called before I ever met him. So I decided then we're going to do the meetings, the celebration, the next week, starting on the 10th to the 13th. I did not know those were the dates for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. And God is saying, I'm going to give you a new start. Hallelujah. So when I finally found out, actually one of my spiritual daughters had sent an invitation to her. She said, I will not be able to come because of Rosh Hashanah, but I'm going to send a gift to celebrate with you. I said, Rosh Hashanah, I celebrate Rosh Hashanah every year. I said, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah too. So I went to check the date. Well, Same time. Hallelujah. Well, so while we're celebrating together, we are going to be experiencing God together in a new experience in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So I am convinced that God has something on his mind greater than whatever it is that we can imagine, and that he is going to do something new and something fresh in your life and the life of your children and the life of your children's children, because he is faithful. He will not disappoint. He is God. Hallelujah. He is God. And whatever it is that the enemy thinks he has been doing and thinks he's winning, he's actually losing. Praise God. It's a new day. Praise the Lord. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to form a line. I'm going to pray for those that are online and praying for all of us here at the same time. Because when you come through the line here, I'm not going to be spending time praying for each one. You know, we did that 1 year and we had a service here. And we're still praying for people at 3 a.m. in the morning. It's something else. And nobody left. We started the service at 6:30, 3 a.m. in the morning. We're still praying for people. The power of God was present. Amen? But tonight, I'm just going to touch you. I had the oil. It's been with me in my pocket while I've been ministering to you, saturated. So as soon as I touch you, I know God is touching you. Amen. He said to have this, so I'm in agreement with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let me pray for everyone generally first. And then those of you that are here, when you come When you form that line, you leave your offering, and then you come to me, and I'll lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. But for everyone that is listening online and in here, get your oil and be ready. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this very special moment, this special time, this set apart time that you've given to us. You said to do this tonight, and in obedience to your directives, as your son, as your servant, I am properly positioned by grace to do so right now. I pray, O God, for everyone that is listening, everyone that is engaged right this very moment and in the days to come. I pray, O God, for their healing. I pray, O God, that the infrastructure of their lives will be set in proper placement. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord, O God, that you, the God who is our portion, that you will make us your portion also. You have a mind and a thought for us, and it's to do us good and not evil, to bring us to that place where we experience the fullness of the expected end, that which you have purposed in your heart. Lord, we are saying tonight, let thy kingdom come and let your will be done in the earth, in every life, as it is in heaven. You have a plan and a purpose, a destiny for every son, every daughter that is here at this very moment engaged in the hearing of your word. Lord, O God, they are not sitting by, they are engaged. They desire, O God, to experience you. They desire to be empowered by you. And I ask, O Lord, O God, this day, Lord, that not one man, woman, boy, or girl be disappointed. But Father, O God, that we will all experience the fullness of your glory as we are rooted and planted in your word. We ask, O God, this day, O God, that whatever does not belong be rooted out. Whatever does not belong, O God, be destroyed. Whatever does not belong, be pulled down. Whatever does not belong, be thrown down. So, Lord, O God, that there be a building and a planting. Though your word says, O God, that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in his courts. Lord, O God, today we thank you that we are those, O God, chosen, handpicked by you to flourish, to blossom, to prosper, to be a testimony of your goodness, of your awesome power like never before. I ask, O God, this day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, O God, that every satanic agenda focused on any life here, O God, be totally annihilated. Remove, O God, that which does not belong and grant supernatural speed. I thank you, Lord, O God, for godly men and women that you've raised, O God, to come alongside of your sons and your daughters. Those, O God, that will seek creative ways to connect with the anointing. Creative ways not to miss out on what you are doing. Lord, oh God, let that be everyone here today. And Lord, oh God, that we are committed to helping others. And Lord, oh God, that we are sensitive, discerning of your timings. Knowing, oh God, particular settings and timings of your perfect will. So, Lord, oh God, that we are always at the right place, at the right time, engaged and fulfilled, doing that which is pleasing in your sight. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that when it is impossible to operate in the natural, that grace has been given to come from above. Father, in Jesus' name, we remove every obstacle. So that, oh God, we can be present in the presence of your glory and healings can take place. Tonight I pray, oh God, that if there is any access point of the enemy that's caused many to be caught up in a state, oh God, where they are no longer stronger, Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, I ask, oh God, that even as your word says, oh God, your sins are forgiven you. And Lord, oh God, tonight in Jesus' name, I speak in the authority of your name and say, sins are forgiven, the access points of the enemy are shut off, and from this day on, these ones are protected from the evil agenda of the enemy. For this day, Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Loose your hold and let God's people go. Whatever agenda, whatever rights you have are denied this very moment, because the judge of the whole earth has declared his people righteous, declared his people upright, declared his people blameless, declared his people spot free, wrinkle free. This day, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare wholeness. Father, do a work of God with your church. Flush out anything and everything that does not belong, and cause this your church to stand before you, strong and mighty, spotless, dressed in the purity of the garment of the Most High God, even with the love of God. I declare and command unity upon this body. I declare, O God, that we are a mature people, no longer children that need to be taught, but those that have matured and now are able to be decisive and creative. Lord God Almighty, may we not always remain students. May we become masters by the authority of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree it so. And Lord, O God, as we take communion together by faith, we come into communion with you and you with us. For as we abide in you and you abide in us, because your word abides in us, you have made us a people that are fruitful, that produce much fruit. Let that be our testimony. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for a fresh start. Thank you, Lord, that we can boldly say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. May we now dine at your table in the presence of our enemies. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. I declare, O God, that even as you touch these Pharisees and leaders, lawyers of the law, that you touch men and women who are in the seat of government, and Lord, heal them, heal them, heal them. Let them now also join with us in glorifying you. Lord, bring governmental leaders into our gatherings. We give you praise. Trustees, superintendents, fire chiefs, whatever it is that they're operating, let them come. Let them be changed. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you that are home, I want you to get oil now. Touch the oil, touch your head, and say, let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. We're going to cut off from those that are on Facebook.